Today is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of whether it's raining or sunny. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just rejoice in you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you have shown us and the grace that you pour out on us. Lord, we just are so blessed to have this place to come together, to gather together with each other, Lord, to share with each other, to do life with each other, to love each other, to support each other, and Lord, to be able to come and lift songs up to you, to worship you, Lord, through your word, and to hear how you are moving and how you want us, Lord, to live our lives. Lord, how you want us to love others. Help us, Lord, to have ears that hear your message today, Lord. Help us to see where we can step in and love or fill a need, Lord. Thank you that you call us to be part of what you're doing in this church, in this community. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name, amen.
We have a special guest with us this morning who's also has a table out in the front lobby that you can check out and have a conversation with her after. Stephanie is going to come on up. She's from a family for Maine. And we do have several of our families in the church that have been involved in that and are still involved in that. And they are another resource for you. Steph.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. First things first, I love microphones, so this is this is fun. I am Stephanie. I am with A Family for Me. For those of you who aren't aware of what we do, we are sort of the force behind trying to find homes for Maine's kids who are in foster care. I spend a lot of my days trying to be out and about in the community, raising awareness, talking to people about what the need is, and how they can get involved. I understand not everybody can foster. It's a big thing to take on. It's a big thing to do. Really hard, really rewarding. But at the same time, there's many other ways that you can get involved as a community. So I just wanted to say hi really quick today. This month is National Foster Care Awareness Month. And this is, again, what I do every day, but this month in particular, we're really trying to pound the pavement and talk about the needs here in Maine. For those of you who are unaware, we have more than 2,300 children in the Department of Health and Human Services care as we speak. That's a big number. What does that mean for those kids? That means that they are temporarily displaced. That means they are being cared for by someone that they may know. It could be a family member or someone they may not know. It could be a licensed foster home. Nonetheless, they are away from their families trying to figure things out. And it's so important for our communities to get involved and to give back in any way that they can. And that can look a number of ways. That could be becoming licensed and being able to bring in some of those children into your home. It could also mean just volunteering and helping spread the word. I think at the moment we have the biggest referral basis coming from word of mouth. Meaning those who have done it or are doing it are talking about it and encouraging people to get involved. More so than me putting up flyers, which I do, or more so than me talking at events like this, which I do, the biggest thing is you all talking about it. And as Scott was saying, many of you have gotten involved before. Many of you are doing it right now. And so talk to each other. Ask each other questions. How is it going? What do you do? Can I do this? I'm nervous. Tell me more. And then encourage them to talk to me. Most of the time, as people reach out and want to learn more and get involved, they are in contact with me. I'm usually someone's initial point of contact, meaning I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to answer their questions. I'm going to talk to them about what's expected of them, how to do it, what it will be like, how long it takes, all that good stuff. And then if they decide to move forward, I'm also the one guiding them through all of the necessary steps, the paperwork, the home studies, all of that that goes hand in hand with this kind of thing. It is a tremendous need. So any way that you all can give back would be greatly appreciated. Again, I spend my days out in the communities raising awareness and encourage people to get involved, to help our children in any way that they can. And I love the fact that, Scott, you were so gracious to have me come and say hello. I do have a table out there in the front, so if anybody has any questions of me after, I'll be here for a few minutes after the fact. Take my number, take a card, feel free to reach out. Just ask the questions and see what it is that you might be able to do for us and for the kids here in Maine who really need you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I love being able to say hi and see who's in our community and who wants to give back. So feel free to come say hi to me, okay? Thank you.
Have you ever wondered? Weird questions, and this little series that we're doing for right now, we're gonna continue it at the little breaks here and there through the rest of the year, and maybe until we have all our weird questions answered. We might even get to the point of it's scary for me though, because a lot of times I'm gonna say, I don't know, of handing around a microphone and saying, all right, got any questions about that? Let's see, let's figure it out together. The Bible says, let us come and reason together. And just that exchange is so important. And so these questions that we've been asking, we're started off talking about the Bible. Where did it come from? The people who think, oh, the Bible was just written by some guy and put together, or they believe the Da Vinci Code. The Bible was this controversial thing where a bunch of guys in a room were deciding what goes in and what stays out and all that. And we learned a couple weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, after Victoria spoke. I just love it when Victoria speaks. She makes me cry. But 3 weeks ago, and then we went to Florida and had a great time chasing our grandchildren around. My goodness. Saturdays include a t-ball game for Colton, a softball game for Chloe, a baseball game for Calvin, and they're all at different fields, and sometimes at the same time. And so being part of their family routine, being there on Sunday morning, and man, my heart was full seeing Joshua, my oldest, up there playing his electric and leading worship. I said to him after, I said, you know, it's pretty cool that you're a urologist and a researcher and everything. A PhD thing, that's pretty cool. MD thing, pretty cool. I said, I really don't care about all that. This right here made my day, it made my week to see my kids involved like that. It was so cool. So being back now and looking at what we're going to do today, my notes just went out. Why? That's okay. I can go from the screen. Coming back on. Ask Gemini. Hey, Gemini, why did my notes just go off? So today, we are going to talk about the Bible again. We're going to talk about the Bible again. And when you look at Scripture and what Scripture says about the Bible, there are all these different verses. Somebody look up Psalm 119, 105. Who's got it? Somebody else, John 17, 17. Who's got that one? Who's got Psalm 119, 105? Come on, raise your hand. Tom's got it. Who's got the next one? John 17, 17. Okay, Katie's got that one. I see you're looking at, you're at least looking. Let's see, how about Isaiah 48? Isaiah 40, verse 8. Who wants that one? All right, Sherry's got that one. And let's see, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. David's got that one. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All right, so we got them again. They are, that first one we're going to do is Psalm 119, 105. Tom, go.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you guys have ever had one of those camping lights? That's like, it's a light to your feet, but it's not a light to your path. It's like, it just goes out 4 feet, and you're like, I've had that on some of my bikes. You know, when the battery is dying and you're riding, you're like, I like to see in advance. And now it's just a light to my feet, and I'm going, pothole, like this. So that one, your word is a light to my feet, but a light to what's ahead, too. Okay, who had the next one? John 17:17. Oh, Josh has it.
Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth.
Your word is truth. Your word is truth. How about, did we do Isaiah 48? Sherry?
The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stays forever.
Amen. The word of our God stays forever. And we looked at that a few weeks ago, all the different attacks on trying to get rid of the Bible, right? But it still remains. And you know what right now? It's selling like crazy. You know why? I think people are like out there going, this is wacky. I gotta get me one of those and see what it's supposed to look like, because I know it's not supposed to look like this. And they're coming to church and they're reading Bible. It's amazing. 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the men of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yeah. All scripture, God-breathed. And so we can look at all the different characteristics of God's word, and then we come here, and if you're new to all this faith stuff, new to Christianity, you ask this question: what is the deal with so many translations, right? What's the deal with so many translations? Maybe you've been at a meeting and somebody has said, hey, who can read this verse? And somebody says, yeah, I'll read it. And they start to read it and you're looking at yours going, what? What verse is that? How come mine's different? That's a very good question. And a lot of people who are new to faith and new to the Bible go, why is yours different from mine? What is the deal? Now today we have this King James Version with the these and thous. And that might be the preference. Somebody might like that. Anybody want this?
No.
Thee would be blessed. There's an NIV. There's a new NIV Bible. Who needs a Bible? You want one? I got one for you. You can have it. Yours. Free. All right. We got it all on our phones. That's what I say now. I mean, it's hard. I've had some of the old timers get mad at me because I have everything digitally. And they're like, you need, brother, to be holding the word of God in your hand like this. Now, I have tremors so bad, and they're trying to figure that whole thing out, why my tremors are so bad. But the reason I hold my tablet here and read it off here is because when I try to go like this, I'm trying to get it to stay still. I cannot read it. So old-timers who are like, it doesn't count, I'm going to a different church. It doesn't count if you... He preaches from them their tablets. The tablet is of the devil. I say, hey, buddy, the first tablets came from Moses, okay? Relax. It's an old thing. So if you need a Bible, take one with you. We want you to, you can even find them in French and Portuguese in here, okay? But meanwhile, there's always someone in the corner, someone who has this view that their King James Bible was personally handed to them by Moses, and it is the only anointed word of God, and the only one that was inspired, and the only one that counts. And they want to fight. I mean, they fight with me. I'm like, I don't want to fight you. I don't really want to fight you. Your King James says, if that's your preference, great. It's great. It's not my preference, but if it's your preference, great. They're like, well, it was the first Bible. No, it wasn't, but okay, it wasn't the first Bible. It is a translation that we'll get into later. It was translated from other texts that already existed that translated from the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. Okay? But I'm not saying it's bad. Okay? But we always hit that person who's like, they want to have translation wars. And you look like the translation wars, they're real. And they're unnecessary. They're unnecessary. So this is my first point today. People get so serious about their Bible translation that I've met some that are like, no, this is it. And I get emails and people will say, I'd like to come to your church. Which version of the Bible do you preach from? And I say, well, oftentimes the New Living Translation, because I find it easy to read, and our Sunday morning attracts people who sometimes are like, we're new to this. So those of us who are old to it, we can certainly follow along, but those of us who are new to it, it's easy to read, and it is a translation. We'll get into what that is. And I'll say, but on other weeks, I might refer to a paraphrase. On other weeks, I might go to Young's literal translation. On other weeks, I might pull something out of the Amplified text. I might go to the easy reading version. I'll use them all. And usually when the person asks that question, I know the answer they're looking for. I already know it. And I'm like, we failed that. We're not gonna get that one right. So they'll hang on to their translation like some people hang on to their college football teams. You know, with that loyalty that is like, wow, that's incredible. I'm glad you like your translation. I'm glad, but when you say your translation is the only translation that God endorses, then I have a struggle with that. I will disagree with you. So I'm going to pull up my tablets misbehaving. Moses' tablets never misbehaved. His were, I think his were set in stone. Where's Tom? Ba-dum-bum. Set in stone. All right, so I'm gonna pull that up. Why is my tablet not? So I'll pull it up off of Dropbox and I'll look at it tiny on my phone, and we'll be fine. All right, so they'll cling to it. Now here's the difference. Here, what can you tell me is the same in these two maps? The roads. What else?
Trees.
Okay. Is it the same place? They are the exact same place. That's Stroudwater. That's going down, coming down this way that you see on this side. And Stroudwater right over here, that horse and buggy man are coming to. So that's you are here, okay? That little star up there, FBC Westbrook, recently viewed. Oh, well, that was nice. Somebody viewed it. Recently viewed, it's there, but over there, it's very different, but it's the same. That's 1878. That's today. My point is that even though they're different in the things that are there, they are a picture of the same thing. At the base, they are a picture of the same earth, the same thing. And so when we look and we see translations, we need to understand that our translations are that picture of
the same God. That's the picture of the same God, okay? So the translation wars, they're real, but they don't need to be so aggressive, mean. It's nothing to fight about. Now, some of you might be here or you're listening online if you haven't shut me off yet because you're mad because I didn't say the KJV is the only Bible you can read. If you're still hanging with me online, I want you to consider this quote. Rupertus Meldinius in 1627 said this. It has been attributed to Augustine. Others have used it, but it went among the Protestant teachers. It went far and wide pretty quickly. It says, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In everything else, love. In everything else, love. What do you think that means? What's the point of it? Why are we putting this as kind of a stake in the ground to start off with? This is the interactive part. Why do you think?
And the important things, we should be on the same page.
Yeah. Okay.
The less important things, have some, give people leeway.
Right.
Or otherwise, they'll be asked to love.
Yeah. So when we look at things that are essential, those are the things that are the hills that are worth dying for, okay? Those are the things that we look at. And we have to ask the question, is your translation an essential? When we look at this next list, essentials versus non-essentials. Essentials are like in your house, they are the load-bearing walls, okay? They're the load-bearing walls. They're the ones, you take that out and your house caves in, okay? These are the essentials of Christian faith, the deity of Christ, that Christ was fully God, fully man. The essential of death and his resurrection, the essential of grace, faith through grace alone, not through works. Those are essentials of our faith. You see the essentials on your statement of faith in most churches. Now, a lot of churches have been adding non-essentials and their policy stance on this and that and added it in to their statement of faith. And they'll ask me, in your statement of faith, why don't you have a statement about human sexuality? Why don't you have a statement about this? Why don't you have a statement about that? And I'll look and I'll say, we just don't have enough paper to list all our different sins, okay? And what we're, these are the essentials. And now we'll go and we'll live. What are the non-essentials? The non-essentials are like your paint color. They're your preference. One time, I took a group of kids on a mission trip. We went to Tennessee and I had, 13, 14-year-olds putting new roofs on houses. It's interesting, I love being in youth ministry. Because in youth ministry, we could take kids to another country and build a house, but in the United States, they couldn't even hold the flashlight for their dad, or we won't even let them have the responsibility of doing anything. And here I have them up on a roof, and it's 104 degrees, and Josh the youngest Bryant boy, I'm missing his name, it's gone. He played. He was the Red Lobster remember, in the March Madness. But his name, I'm missing his name. But these two kids, 13 years old, 14, they were up there. They got a lesson in how to shingle. And then they're just ripping it. Putting roofs on. Others are working with some of our youth leaders and putting in flooring. Anyway, I get home after this 9-day trip. I come walking in, and I'm the last one in the house because I've got stuff, and Josh went in, and Shara went in, and I'm sitting down. And Robin says, so, You notice anything? I said the smartest thing that all men can say. Oh, you did something with your hair. I like it. She said, nope, nothing with my hair, something bigger. I said, I don't. My kids are laughing. She said, our living room and kitchen is a different color. I painted our living room and kitchen a different color while you're gone, and you don't notice. I was like, I would have eventually, I'm sure. We had a woman who was one of our youth leaders. She had hair down to her butt. Robin asked me one night after youth group, hey, what'd you think of Lori's hair? I said, what do you mean, Lori's hair? She said, she had a cut to here. I said, she did? She said, was she there tonight? I said, yes. And you didn't say anything about her hair? No. I didn't notice. The non-essentials are the paint colors. They're the paint colors. An essential probably would have been life or death. If Lori showed up and was dead, I would have noticed. I would have noticed. But the hair, it's like a paint color. But what are other non-essentials? Worship styles. Worship styles are preferences. They are preferences. Every time a new instrument has come in church history, it has been met with objections and criticism that this is of the devil. That organ over there that we're gonna have fun with tonight, and I'm hoping Ed will play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Probably not. I might request that favor. No, I won't. Wrong crowd for that joke. But the organ, when it first came on the scene, that was some controversy. That was some controversy, okay? Worship styles, eschatology, end times. They want to know, are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? That means, are you before Jesus is going to come, before the tribulation? He's going to come halfway through the tribulation. He's going to come after the tribulation. And they'll ask that question, and I will say, I'm pan-trib. Say, well, what do you mean? I say, I believe it's just going to all pan out. I follow Jesus, and what's going to happen is going to happen, and I'm just going to go with him when he shows up, and I'll be ready for it. Okay? Eschatology. And your translation preference. That's their preferences. They're just preferences. They're non-essential. So the translation wars are real, but they're really not necessary. They only divide. My second point is this. Not all translations are built the same, and that is by design. It's by design. Every translation focuses on this tension. This tension. Do you describe the words, word for word, which is known as formal equivalence in translation. So you're looking at a Hebrew text and you're going word for word. If it says of, you use the word of. If it says this, it's word for word. Young's literal translation does that. It's helpful. I use it and study it. And so there's that form of translation where a group of people who have PhDs in languages and studying those types of things. People who are historians get together and work on this book. And then the second is called dynamic equivalence, that you're looking and saying, do we want a translation that is thought for thought? Okay, thought for thought. So translations try to stay as close to the original manuscripts, the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic manuscripts as possible. They work hard to keep that so it's saying the same thing. But on the far end, there's the paraphrase. The paraphrase is written by one guy, one woman, just kind of being like, this is what I think this says. I find those really helpful for for me sometimes when I'm just like in reading devotionals and things like that. That's when I'm looking for the message, the Living Bible, the Passion Translation, which is interesting that the Passion Translation will call itself the translation, but it's not. It's a paraphrase. Translation is multiple educated people who are experts tearing apart and looking at the original manuscripts. Paraphrase is like when I'm up there and I say, and Jesus said, do, sell everything you own and go and give it to me because that's your God and I know it. That's me doing a paraphrase. Jesus didn't say it that way. And so we look at all these and you get confused. You're like, I see this Bible verse up there, and then after it, it has this code where it'll say John 11:1. I have no idea what that means. And then after it, it'll say TLB. What? And see, what we need to do is be aware that when we start off in our faith journey and we're not familiar with the Bible, we have to learn how to use it. So it's okay to look and say, what do these letters mean? Okay. What do they mean? Have you seen the Gen Z translation? The Gen Z translation, it's actually there. You can find it online. It's called the translation, but it is a paraphrase. Look at this. The original King James, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Gen Z, an angel spilled this tea to Joseph in a dream. So Joseph woke Mary, and they took the holy child and ghosted their native country. You let it go. What? But when you look between the two, I'm like, you know, some of these middle schoolers who are talking like that all the time, that probably means more to them than the other one with the these and thous. So it's a paraphrase. It's written by no council of educated people. It was written by somebody with the pen name Broseph Smith. Broseph Smith wrote the Gen Z paraphrase and he used ChatGPT. Have you ever had to translate a letter from grandma? My mother used to send letters. Woo! That was something. We used to pass them around and go, all right, who can tell what grandma is saying here? See, the formal translation is we go word for word of exactly what she wrote. The problem with grandma is sometimes she left out entire parts of her sentences. Much like, she I think developed voice text before it existed. It existed in her mind, so you had to kind of figure out, what is grandma saying? And so you went word for word, and you could rewrite it, and then still go, this is still a little confusing in my language. The dynamic says, all right, I'm looking for grandma's thought. What is she conveying here? What is true to her transcript? What is true and thought for thought? What is grandma saying? Okay? And so that's the thought for thought type. And the paraphrase is when Robin would finally grab it and say, this is what grandma's saying. We're all going there, and we're going to meet, and we're going to have a cookout, and this is how it's going to happen. And we'll all be like, oh, thank you, old wise one, for helping us. My third point is the Bible is not what you think it is. Remember, 3 weeks ago, we talked about this. We talked about it being a library. It's not a chronological history book. It's not like a newspaper with front page news, opinion columns, and then the arts section that might have a poem or two. The major categories or genres in our translations are all these different styles of writing. Now, next week, for Mother's Day, we're going to focus on the questions kids ask. Okay? So if your little ones have any other ones, send them to me. I love the ones that Evie, you know, Evie, she's a thinker. Evie and JoJo, they're like, wow, they're going to put you to the test. And so we're going to do that. But the week after that, we're going to go, okay, Bible. Is this literal? Is this metaphorical? Is this an analogy? What different thing? There are some people that look and say, every word written is literal and to be taken literally. And we're going to see in a couple of weeks, that really doesn't work because there are things that just didn't happen that way, but they were analogies, okay? The major categories that we look at in the Bible, there's law and narrative, poetry and wisdom, prophecy, the Gospels, the epistles, the apocalyptic, and there's so much in there, written by more than 40 authors on 3 different continents over a 1,400-year span, and it all comes together. And if you have questions about that, go back. It's on our YouTube channel at FBC Westbrook, and listen and look, okay? But the takeaway is that the Bible is a library, just not a book. So the question becomes, what translation is right for me? What translation is right for me? Here's my summary. This is what I've done. This translation is best for you. The best translation is the one you will actually read. Okay? That's the one you'll actually read. An ESV on a nightstand is a very nice, deep academic work. But I'd rather see that New Living translation with coffee stains and tattered pages. There's the difference. This one on the nightstand looks like the binding hasn't been broken yet. And this one, this is like, whew, these are great. I had people who got upset with me when I was in youth ministry because Bibles would be tattered and they'd say, you're not respecting it. And so, well, we took it on a canoe trip with 30 teenagers. It's not gonna really do well. I finally bought one, it was really cool. It was the youth pastor's Bible, and it was made of like these vinyl pages. You could dump water on it, you could try to tear it, it just wouldn't go. They made it for soldiers, it was really cool. I don't know if they still have it. But the best translation is the one you read. Great Scott, but what? Great Scott, hey, anybody else? Great Scott, what is your recommendation? But what is your recommendation? Okay. I'll spill it out. It's just my recommendation. This is not coming from on high. This is just Scott's preferences. Okay? So take them or leave them. If you're new to the Bible, these letters here, the New Living Translation, the Easy Read Version, I really like that one. That's where you started? Yeah. It basically has a vocabulary of 3,000 words, okay? The NIV, the New International Version. Find the readable one. If you're really getting into digging deeper in Bible study and going into some like academic study, then I recommend the New American Standard Bible. A good translation or the ESV, where you look at the English Standard Version, both good. So what I'll do is when something triggers me to look a little deeper, I go to another version. Okay, I'll go and say, I want to read this. I'm going to read this in the New American Standard. What does Young's Literal say about this? And if you're in that type of study, there's lots of great resources. I love that I have them digitally. I have Logos software on my computer and on my tablet, and I can be like this passage and pull it up, these 4 versions parallel. It's all right there. Do you know that pastors' offices used to be nothing but books? Remember those days? They were books, 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 books. I had a library of probably 3,000 volumes. And when I had my liver transplant and I lost my voice and it looked like I wasn't gonna maybe make it and I definitely would never be in ministry again, I gave it away to a young pastor. But that's okay, because now I have all of those books at my access through my digital stuff. And so I'm okay with that. You walk into my office now and you go, guy's only got 6 books, and 3 of them are cartoons. I do have some references, but I've never opened them because I just have them right here too. Okay? So find what works for you. And then in devotional studies, you look and you say devotional readings. That's where you pull out the paraphrases. That's where you pull them out. So let's have conversations. Email me, text me, call me. Let's get together for breakfast. Not this week, though, because I'm going away from my planning time for Monday through Friday and mapping out the next 6 months of what we're doing. And so pray for me for that, that it will be worthwhile, that God will speak. And pray especially, I'd like to feel well. Those of you who know what's been going on. I have a UFO that's underneath, like, it's in my small intestine in something called the jejunum. I thought that was a made-up word. You got this in your jejunum, and what's caused it was from 14 years ago, it was a biliary stent that we put in during your transplant, and in most people, they flush right out, and yours didn't. Yours got stuck, and now it has all this cells and tissue and everything built up around it, and that's what's causing the pain. So that's what's been going on with me as you're praying and going, what's happening with Scott? When it hurts really bad. I confessed to you 3 weeks ago when I preached. I have no idea what I said because I took half of one of the pain pills before I had to preach. Otherwise, I was like this. Okay? So that's what's going on. Pray. August is my appointment, and they will have a surgical consult to figure out how they're going to go in and get that little bugger. Whether they're going to take out a section of my small intestine and stitch it back together or what, but hey, they take part of me every 2 years, so that's the way I live. That's good. You know, that's my weight loss program. The music team is coming on up, and we are going to have communion together in the way that we do it here at our church. When we have communion together, we started doing this a while back as come if you want to and take it if you want to. Why? Why did we do that instead of passing it? Well, because I like to certainly respect people who are newer to the faith and searching. And somebody had a conversation with me and said, you know, when they pass that plate and it comes by and all that, I'm not ready for that in my faith, but I feel like everybody is looking at me and I am supposed to take it. And I don't like that pressure. And so we started talking, and then COVID hit and we couldn't touch each other or touch anything. And so we've stuck with this. And so when we have communion together, you'll come up if you want to. If you don't, stay where you're at or head on out and have an awesome week. Get communion. But I have this verse up here, this table, what it represents. When it says, in the same way, because he was just talking about the bread, he said, this is my body broken for you. In the same way, Jesus took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. New covenant, that is big. Huge difference between Old Covenant, New Covenant. Jesus saying, this is the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. See, Jesus went willingly to the cross for us. That still baffles me. I still look at grace. And Victoria was talking about awe. And I was like, you know, the thing that hit my mind was that God has this grace that when we follow Jesus, that he covers us and says, Scott, I know what a bonehead you are. I know who you really are. I know all that, but I love you and I cover you with my grace. For what you will do, what you have done, you're under my righteousness through my son. And when I think of that, that just shakes me, that grace. So we're going to pray together, thank the Lord. I'm going to move this camera so you don't have to dance around it. And we will come up and have communion together. I'll just point it over here, Katie. There you go. No, that your microphone blocks it. So what if we put it over here?
Yeah.
Put it, yeah, right there. We'll see if that's a shot right on your face. That'll be good. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this table and what it represents. Father, 2,000 years ago, we're still doing this. We're still doing this together to remember you. And remember the price you paid, and that you paid it for us, only because you love us so much. God, not because we deserve it. Grace is undeserved favor. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. And verse 9 basically says, because if it was any other way, you guys would all brag. Lord, we cannot boast because it's only through your grace. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you for your shed blood. And thank you that you give us the gift of new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for your grace. Thanks so much for your word that guides us. And thank you that we have so many different options and translations that we can choose from. Lord, let us stand on the essentials. Let us not fight about the non-essentials. And Lord, even with those who want to fight, in all things love. Go with us now.